You know, I was so scared before today, but now realizing that what my papa said and what Miss Stephanie said, that apparently I did not have a good reputation as a child here, and I did not realize this. But even though I was scared to do this, I have been saying since I was 6 years old that I wanted to become a pastor. And that's a lot to say when you're 6 years old, because you don't realize how difficult it is to prepare a sermon and to get ready and to do all the things for it. And yet, John asked me when I came back this year if I wanted to preach this summer. And of course I said yes. Why would I not say yes? It's like, that's what I've been wanting to do since I was six. Why would I not say yes? But then I started to say no. And I told him, like, no, I don't want to do this. It's too far. I'll preach later in life. I don't need to do it now. And then I went back and forth and just kept saying yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And 2 weeks ago, I'd already told him no. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to. And I texted him. I said, all right, John, I'm sorry, but I am going to do it. And I promise you, I won't quit this time. And he said, well, you got to tell me. You got to promise me you're going to do it and you can't back out. I was like, all right, I promise I'll do it and I will not back out. And so many of you know me, but I honestly do not know all of you, because even though I grew up here, I don't have the best memory for being 18 years old. And so I want to remind you a little bit of my background here. Now, obviously, Bob Kurtz, Pastor Bob, is my grandfather. I know if you didn't see us in the same room, we have no resemblance. There's nothing. We don't talk the same, nothing, no resemblance. But his first daughter, Kim Spicer, is my mother. And when I was just 2 weeks old, just got out of the hospital, we were brought here to St. John's on our first Sunday to be able to experience the warmth and love that you give us. Because I forgot just how many times I've spent here at this church. Because I came here for every single Sunday and every single Wednesday for 12 years before I moved to Illinois. This church has truly raised me, and you are my church family. You've shown me everything what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a believer in God. Now, going back to my papa, he is the smartest, most intelligent man I know. He's the most well-versed and well-known man I know. But somehow, some way, he will yell at the top of his lungs in the house when I'm on the other side, but, hey, Brian, come here. I'm like, okay, I'll come over to him. I'll do anything for him. So I go over to him, and he says, hey, Brian, all right, I need you to send this email for me. And I start to giggle because I find it something that's so easy, because it's just a few clicks of the button, and yet he does not appreciate it when I giggle because he finds it not very respectful. And so I do this, and yet seeing this man who was so intelligent and so amazing has to ask me for a question, I realized I had to update his software. And maybe that today, too, I can update your software as well. So we're going to be reading from the book of James. And I know in the bulletin it says Proverbs, but I made a change last second and changed it to James because I realized it just fit better with what my point is. But do mark Proverbs, because we'll be going back and forth a little bit in the sermon. So, while you're turning there is a great Protestant reformer known as Martin Luther. He saw that faith was full of grace, and that by us being believers, we were to live only through faith and grace. But James saw a different essence. He saw an active faith. But let's see if there is a different essence. James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word
but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our one true amazing God, you gave us your Son. You gave us this Bible so that way we may better know you, better understand you, so that way we could live out a life that is truly for you. Let us take this, what we've learned, take what we know, so that way we can be our best selves for you and only you. Amen. Now, they may have different perspectives, James and Martin Luther, but their belief is the same, because faith without works is dead. But you cannot work for your faith. You can work as hard as you want, but just unless you believe, nothing will come from it. And yet, we all go to church every single week. We come here and we learn so much. But do we use what we're learning? Are we truly using it to its full potential, or do we just bury it inside of our hearts? This is something that's been troubling me for a long time. And if we're going to say that we are believers, we must be active in our faith and do what we say we believe in. We must learn what we are hearing, not just hear it. But if you are a believer and you do not act, what is the difference between you and a non-believer? Now, of course, the obvious answer would be, I believe. But is that faith a blind faith? Is it something that is just you say you're believing it, but you're not doing anything that's a part of it? What is that faith? We must go and show the people the grace of God. We must go out and show them what it truly means to be a believer in the one and true God. Paul even discusses that true faith will always produce good works and will lead us to be doers of the word and not hearers. With true faith in mind, when I say we're going to have to go back to Proverbs, we're going to have to go over to Proverbs really quick. And it'll be in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 1. While you're flipping there, Proverbs has so much practical truth. It's something that at first when you read Proverbs, it can be very, very confusing. It can be just very complex, but when you read it and reread it and try to understand it, so much of it can really show you just how we as Christians can live a better, faithful life. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 1. Do not envy the wicked. Do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their lips talk about making trouble. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. There is a difference between wicked people and sinners. Wicked people are those who are truly evil. These are people that so many of us want to believe that there is everyone is good in heart. Everyone is truly good innately. But this is not true. There are some people who are truly wicked in this world. Examples of these are terrorists, serial killers, rapists, Satanists, and child molesters. They are what is truly wrong with this world. But what is the difference between them and sinners? Sinners are everyday people. They go about their lives and they do things that sometimes are wrong and sometimes they are sinful. But they do not have the faith that we do in God, which allows us to be forgiven of our sins. They just live their lives without ever being able to lift their guilt off of their hearts by knowing that the one true God has forgiven them of what they've done. Everyone is a sinner, but not everyone is saved from sin. If we go about our lives never telling other people about how the grace of God and his love for you can truly change you, and we just say, we'll let other people do that for us, we'll let someone else go and talk to them because I'm not good enough to go talk to them. What if God desires you to be that one to go talk to him and he hasn't planned for anyone else? What if he only desires for you to be that one thing that starts that spark in them? Knowing the difference between wicked and sinners. How do we hurt ourselves through wicked actions of our own? There's rationalization and self-deception. Rationalization is when you tell yourself that something that truly is good, but you make yourself believe that it... Let me restart, I'm sorry. When there's something that is bad, and you tell yourself, you convince yourself that it is good. Even though you know that it is bad, you convince yourself wholeheartedly that it is good. Then self-deception is when there is something that is bad, but you try to convince yourself that it is good, but you know in your heart that it truly is bad. Now we're going to move over the page to Proverbs 24, verses 10 through 12. If you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done? It's natural for us as humans to want to deflect blame. No one wants to feel guilty for what they have done. It's easy. You just say, well, you know, that was something that I didn't really mean to do, so it's not my fault. Or that was something they caused me to get angry and get upset. It's not my fault that I reacted that way. But if you never take responsibility and repent for what you've done, isn't your faith empty? If you're not taking that responsibility of your actions. I haven't lived very long. I've only lived 18 years, coming up on my 19th birthday soon, but I haven't lived very long, and yet I know what is right and wrong because of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. We can learn so much from this. We can learn everything we need to know by studying this and listening to God and the Holy Spirit. They show us what the truth is and what path we should take. I watched my own father deceive himself. Many of you have seen your friends and family deceive themselves. Who of you have deceived your own self? Applied faith. Taking what we learn every Sunday and every Wednesday and using it in our lives to truly be who we are meant to be, truly be the people that God wants us to be. We must tell those people that we are too uncomfortable to tell, that tell the people that we think, oh, they don't really need God. They have God, but when in reality, they really don't. They need something from you. Faith takes actions. because even the demons believe in God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. James chapter 2, 19 through 20 says, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" We must act on what we believe in, because otherwise, why are we believing in what we say we're believing in? Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 20 says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" This is the last thing that Jesus told us. This is the last commandment to us. Wouldn't that be somewhat of more importance? If this is the last thing he could tell us, the last thing he said to us on earth, wouldn't that have some great importance in it? There are three things that describe a believer. First is their faith in God, that he is the one and only amazing and powerful God. Two, that Jesus Christ is his son, and that he died for you and for everyone else on the cross to forgive us of our sins, which we cannot do. And the third is bringing others to our own faith, showing them that even if it is hard to speak to them, even if it's hard to go out and tell them what your faith is, it may be easier than just, if you go out and tell someone, "Hey, you should believe in God." Well, if you just say that, what's the difference of, say, if someone was of another religion, they came up to you and said, "Hey, you should believe in so-and-so." Why would you believe in that? They just told you to believe in it. But if you give them, if you go to someone and you give them a piece of you, if you give them a piece of your faith, then that may just start that spark. It may start something so small that when you first are talking to them in the first couple weeks or first times you are talking to them about this, you may see nothing. You may see no change at all. But in reality, in their heart, there's been a spark that has started that would inevitably become a roaring blaze for Christ. Faith is lived. Faith is applied. How does your faith impact your life and those around you? Heavenly Father, we come before you, praising you, worshiping you, and just loving you for who you are and who you show us who you are. We know what we must do because we know from the Holy Spirit and from you what we must do in our lives and how we can affect those around us. So give us those opportunities and just make them as clear as day so that we may be able to follow you and do everything that you ask us to do as much as we can. Let's continue with the Lord's Prayer, and let's pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you show your appreciation for Brian sharing with us this morning?